This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-based insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
For a spell, or shall I say, think back 22 years ago to keep it on track.
BT and Sal back on the fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. We'll get to the baseball coming up a little bit, BT. Let's keep it going with the Giants quarterback conversation. It would be fun for sports. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is just such a... I can't wait to hear from him. He's such a unique individual and all the attention that he brings. If he were to stay in this town and try to do what he couldn't do with the Jets, try to do it with the Giants and had some success, it would be great for the Giant fan base, and the Jet fan base would be, again, tortured if that were the case.
I wish they were playing each other if that's the case. You know, every couple of years you get a real regular season matchup. It's not the case this year, but... He is, he's still interesting. I still think he could play. It's just, it's not the right move for the Giants, but he could still play.
Now, okay, why are we both saying that? If we both think he's, and if you look at the options at quarterback, if you're one of those, like, he's better than Kirk Cousins, I think he's better than Justin Fields.
I do too. I do too.
And that Fields, there is something about Fields, and maybe because of the way Dable's offense is and running the football.
Like, that's the answer for me.
Yeah, okay, there's something about that. It just doesn't feel like Rodgers is a fit, but he's clearly better than... All those other, Jimmy Garoppolo.
Better than Daniel Jones.
Okay, well, right, exactly.
Just,
come on.
Keep going back.
Well, right, so then why not Aaron Rodgers for the Giants, assuming he would want to come here?
Well, I mean, just because I'm saying I'm not so sure that they should be, and we're kind of saying why not, doesn't mean that that's what they're going to think or that's what they're going to say. I surmise, and I've said this a few times today, I strongly believe that, you know, Rodgers' camp is trying to drum up some interest here. And, you know, by throwing, you know, a little Giants connection, a little innuendo out there, you start to fan the flames of interest. You get Rodgers' name kicked around. Maybe some other teams, they take it. Oh, well, maybe the Giants are going to mess around. Maybe we should jump in. Like, you just try to create this additional aura around your client. And the fact that he's Aaron Rodgers, it's pretty easy to do that just because of his name.
Because he's Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. I do think the Giants got to, if they're truly trying to win games now and look at all the best options, then I do think it's a legit interest. I just, for whatever reason, don't feel like, I don't think the Giants are good. And I don't think Rodgers could fix that. The Jets were better than the Giants are now, and Rodgers couldn't fix that. So how the hell is he going to fix this? Now, maybe the Giants are better coached than the Jets were.
Are we sure the Jets are better?
No, they were better.
No, are we sure about that?
Well,
like, I mean, honestly, we keep saying that, and I've said it as well.
Right.
I mean, we all took it for granted. Yeah, Jets are better. But,
you know, here's why I would say that they're better. Forget about the talent.
Front seven, Giants is better.
Yeah, well,
front seven's better for the Giants.
The Jets, and even though I thought it was highly overrated, at least their identity was their defense.
Yep.
And then they started to put the pieces in place with the offense, whether it's the young running back, the wide receivers, whatever. The offensive line could be similar situations. Neither team has had a really good, dominant, consistent offensive line. They haven't been able to stay healthy. But at least the Jets, I felt like, had their identity. So much so that it brought attention to Rodgers. It was like, man, this team's an up-and-coming team. Now, they didn't have a good head coach, which is part of the problem. I think if you had Dable, you'd be in a much better spot. So the Giants are better coached, and they have some talented individuals, but there is no identity. They don't run the football well. They don't throw the football well. They don't score points. They're not a good offensive team. The special team has been trash. And the defense isn't very good. They have some good players, but the defense overall hasn't been good. They have some overrated players. Mm-hmm. What are they? Do they get to the quarterback? Do they have a great secondary? The answer is none. The Giants are one of the worst teams, one of the most plain, unidentified, you know, without identity in the NFL, in the entire sport. So that's why. Now, like, it was proven that the Jets stunk anyway. So in me just saying it could just be my opinion that I felt like it was a better situation, but I still do believe that the Jets were a better situation and Rodgers couldn't win with them.
Well, I mean, and I felt that too, but maybe it works out complete opposite here. Like, just because we think you have an identity doesn't mean that you do, and just because we think that you don't doesn't mean that you can't develop one. We thought the Giants, we thought the Jets' identity, of course, Rodgers got all the love and all the pub there, but the Jets' identity, this defense is going to be top shelf. It's going to be phenomenal. Stunk. Right. Never got to stop when he needed. Not disciplined, stupid penalties, some holes on the third level that were eye-openingly bad, a big step back for Sauce, all the things we know. Jermaine Johnson going down, that's nobody's fault. He got hurt. But the identity was not even close to what we thought it would be, whereas I agree, I don't really know quite yet what the Giants' identity is. I think it's more rooted in defense right now than offense, but is it a crazy... It is, not that it is definitely more rooted defensively than offensively now, but is it nuts to say next year with competent quarter play, Malik Nabers can't be Garrett Wilson or even better?
No, he could.
Is that nuts?
No, he could be. I think he's been better. I think he's shown plans to be more impactful than Garrett Wilson.
I mean, is it completely out of bounds to say that, you know, with good quarterback play, that Theo Johnson and the Giants tight end will have a better tight end room than the Jets? It's not nuts.
You know what would be great? If we actually see it.
I got you.
I need to see. I can't go from seeing. They told me the same thing about Daniel Jones. Well, Daniel Jones is good. He can throw the football. He can run the football. Wait until they get him some weapons. I'm still waiting. They're atrocious. They are an impossible watch on Sundays. That's how awful they are. Could good quarterback play change all that? I thought that was going to be the case with the Jets and Aaron Rodgers, at least to a respectable level. Yeah. Obviously, it proved to be wrong.
At least they were losing. It was competitive. Yeah. Like, it was tough to watch, but they weren't getting blown out outside of one or two games.
Well, I'm talking about the year
Cardinals game.
All right, the year Rodgers got hurt.
Yeah.
You still saw some signs that the Jets, remember the Kansas City game where we referenced
one Jets drive.
Yeah, but whatever.
Highlight for me, big night.
But not even just that.
Still lost, too. What a night. Didn't win. What a night.
But even throughout the course of that season, the first night against Buffalo.
Yeah, for sure.
Throughout the course of that season, they were competitive, and it felt like, God, if they just had a real quarterback.
Yep.
And then whatever they had then, they lost this past year, where the defense wasn't as good. It was a total mess. So Rodgers was back, but it still looked worse than when they had Zach Wilson. Mm-hmm. So could the Giants just, you know, plug Aaron Rodgers in there and be significantly better? Sure. I mean, I'd like to see it. I wish that were the case. I just don't believe that would be the case. Dino is calling from Bayside, Queens. What's up, Dino?
Yo, Sal, you should have did a cameo appearance from Florida, man. You left us hanging here.
Yeah,
I'm on the fan in Florida for at least an hour. You didn't do it.
Yeah, I mean, on my vacation, you want to work? By the way, I had eye surgery. It wasn't exactly a week off.
Florida, baby.
Yeah.
Listen, take Rodgers. He's going to have that fire in him to kill the Jets. He's going to have it. What do you got to lose, as Trump says? Get him in. A big Giant fan, I would get him in. And then secondly, I just want to quick tell you, do we have a first baseman in the New York Yankees? We had Donnie Baseball, Tino from Seattle. Do we breathe any first baseman on that team?
No.
Yeah, you got Paulie G, and thank you for the call. Yeah,
Luke
we
Voigt.
Appreciate it, you know. Yeah.
This came up the other day. It's funny because, you know, with some of the, and we'll do Yankees more.
Down on Goldschmidt already?
No, I'm not down on Goldschmidt.
No, I mean the fans?
I just don't. I think you've got to have moderate and somewhat modest expectation for Goldie. He'll catch the ball. He'll be all right, 22 home runs, whatever, play every day.
Could have had the polar bear.
Could have had the polar bear, passed on that, wasn't interested. Yeah. But it's crazy. Like, the Yankees just don't develop first baseman. You know, they signed Teixeira. They traded for Tino. You know, they signed Jason Giambi. Even Donnie was an outfielder before he went. They didn't even really develop him as a first baseman. He was an outfielder.
Yeah.
It is uncanny.
Yeah, Yankees have some issues. We'll get to that
spring,
coming
dude.
Up in a little bit.
Been a rough spring. To the point, and again, we will do this later, I might have to amend my win total. Like, it has been such a jarring, eye-openingly bad start to spring training for the Yankees. I'm a little worried. Yeah. And I'm very rarely worried with them in the regular season.
I do think there's been a bit of an overreaction, but let's discuss them coming up in a little bit. Lawrence is in Oklahoma, Oklahoma City. Okay, what's up, Lawrence?
Hey, guys. Thanks for getting me on.
Yeah.
Got it.
As a Giants fan, I feel like my goal for next year is really to just stabilize because we were so terrible. And I don't understand why Russell Wilson isn't a quarterback you guys would look at. He wouldn't cost us a lot of money. He still has a couple of years of play left in him. And if we got a rookie quarterback, he would be down to develop them. And he's not going to embarrass us next year. Like, that's the thing I want. I just don't want to be embarrassed next year. And Russell Wilson won't embarrass me.
Are you sure about that? I mean, embarrassed by what? Are you talking about, like, on the field, off the field? Are you talking about win total?
Embarrassed by bad play. Just embarrassed by bad, like, bad.
I'm not
play,
sure, yeah. Lawrence. I like Russell Wilson, and thank you for the call. I don't like Russell Wilson at this point or for the Giants right now. Like, yeah, there is a level of professionalism that he brings, sure, but I don't know.
I don't really want to watch him play football, to be honest with you. I'd rather watch Justin Fields.
He was okay with Pittsburgh.
All right.
Watch the way Pittsburgh ended their season. And it's not all Russell Wilson. I get it. I don't know. I'm just not into it. I don't think... Well, look, if we're going to go that route, I might as well just go Aaron Rodgers. I'd rather have Aaron Rodgers than Russell Wilson. We've gone over those options before. I don't feel like that's the right guy for the Giants. I don't want those guys. I'd rather just Cam Ward and roll the dice with him and see what he could do than opposed to...
Well, you could do both. That's the whole point. You could do both. You're not going to do Rodgers and Cam. I don't think you would do Justin Fields and a young kid because Fields wants to be able to play and have at least a little window to be somewhere for a while. I think you could definitely do Russell Wilson and Cam or Shador. I wouldn't do Shador, but I think the Giants absolutely could.
Yeah, but then why even bother with Russell Wilson?
Throw the kid out to the Wolves in the first week, like the Jets have always done.
Yeah,
You protect him a little bit. And I think that Russ, and again, that's why I almost feel like inside they're kind of leaning towards Russell Wilson because last year Russ didn't want to come here. They told him straight up, and you gotta appreciate their transparency. Hey, Russ. You're going to play until Daniel Jones' knee is ready to play. And he's like, I got a little more in the tank than that. I don't want to have to go to the bullpen. But I get it because he's your guy. But that's not something I want to do. Jones is gone. So it's a totally different script here for us. The Giants wanted Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson didn't want the check marks or the bullet points that came with being a Giant last year. Those bullet points aren't there this year.
He wants to start. Yeah, but then what if it's a scenario, okay, you're going to start until we feel like we're going to go with the young quarterback.
I think he'd be more open to it this year because, remember, he didn't start last year. Justin Fields did. I think he's fairly realistic with where he is, I hope, in his career.
Yeah. I mean, I don't love any of the options, but would I yell and kick and scream if it's Russell Wilson? Probably not. I just don't know. I don't know what Giant fans are expecting. Russell Wilson, to me, still is a 7-win team max.
He is. And you said you wouldn't kick and scream. I would if they didn't then draft a quarterback. Not even necessarily a 3. But if the Giants got Russell Wilson and didn't get a quarterback either somewhere in the first round or early in round 2, I think it's a colossal whiff.
I promise you, I gave this a lot of thought last night, and I will give you a dead honest answer on what that would do to at least me as a Jet fan. Before we get back to your calls, 888-808-1019, and we get into the Jets' handling of Jordan Travis a little bit later on, Aaron Judge apparently taking a shot at Juan Soto later as well. I did give it thought that if the Giants sign Aaron Rodgers, as a Jet fan, as an IFO, as someone that has never hated the Giants, usually on Sundays I root for them. They're not like some of the other local teams in town that I don't root for, where I'm honest. Yeah, I don't want to see the Knicks win. Like last night, I lost some sleep watching Jalen Brunson prove he's king yet again down the stretch in beating the Miami Heat. I really enjoyed Mikal Bridges being benched, though. That was my favorite part. So I thought, all right, if Aaron Rodgers is a New York Giant, and, you know, we're working together, and Sean's here, and Loogie's here, and they're all pumped up, and you're calling it like it is, so you're usually not too obnoxious with this stuff. How am I going to feel as a Jet fan? Like, what am I going to root for? Does this make me anti-Giants? Does this make me indifferent like I normally am? Where, if you win, great. If you lose, not going to lose any sleep. Or does it make me somehow root for your team? And I gave it thought, and full transparency. Mm-hmm. I always want to be honest. You're not going to hold this against me. I am probably going to be more anti-Giant than I normally am. Mm. And I think the reason is, I want to explain it. It's not jealousy, Teak. You know what it is? It's not even anger.
Fear.
It's fear that if he's more successful with your team, that's another thing I'll never live down.
And I think that's what it comes down to.
I can see that.
You now, Jet fans have talked a lot about the talent you had and the Giants not having it.
I think that's completely fair. And I'm also worried that even a modest 7 or 8 win season would be something that in this loser town of football we live in, that you guys would use against me and other Jet fans.
I don't know if Giant fans would use it against you in a major fashion. I think it would just be like a mocking fashion. Like, what was wrong with you guys? And really, we know what it was. You just didn't have the right coaching situation. And even when it kind of got like the right coaching situation, Woody fired him.
Right.
So it was just never ideal. Whereas with the Giants, because I think of the track record and the personality of Dave's with Aaron, you know, desire and need to go out the way he wants to go out, it just might be the right confluence
of events. I think it's possible it happens. I think the other aspect that would play a role here is if the Jet quarterback situation's a mess. They go with Tyrod Taylor, he gets hurt, and now who knows who's starting? I don't know what they're going to do at the position. Certainly we'll be talking about it. If the Jets are in a worse place and Rodgers is healthy playing well, I'm going to be better. So my perfectly honest answer is, I'd probably be more anti-Giant than ever because I don't want to live in a world in which Sean Morash, and we know how he can be. I understand you both.
Rational?
I think he would actually be, if the Giants were successful with Aaron Rodgers, he'd be so happy that they're successful with Aaron Rodgers that he wouldn't worry about you.
Yeah, I'd form my own land.
Tiki. Yes. Tiki.
That's my prediction.
Tommy.
And I'm positive about the Jets right now with Aaron Glenn.
Tommy. Can you correct Tiki that would not be the case?
Tiki, I love you. You're dead wrong. Sean is a horrible loser and winner.
I'm speaking goodness into our
show.
No,
it is. I will not say anything unless something is said to me and I have to fire back. That's all.
Yeah, but something will be said to you because you get involved in the cesspool of social media.
No.
So every other Jet fan will have to take the blame because William B7912 made some kind
9607, actually.
Made some kind of comment on social media. No, you will spike the football in our face every time Aaron Rodgers does something. You've already done it.
Why?
You've already done it.
He hasn't even
signed with the Giants and you're doing it.
No, because it's already started. The Jet fans already, you guys are going to fall for it like us? Completely missing that it's two completely different scenarios.
Well, I agree that it's two completely different scenarios, but if they, let's say the Giants win 7 games, like I said, that's not a great year. But it's better than what we had.
Yeah, but I can't brag about that. I can't brag and go, he won 7 games at us. No.
Okay. I think you're full of crap, and I always want to be honest with you. I don't want to just say, don't worry, I'll be fine with the Giants. No, I'm going to probably be in a position where I'll be rooting against you. Now, once you start the young quarterback, I think I go back to being a nice, rational IFO. But I think as long as Aaron Rodgers is starting, and that's why when I brought this up in January, I didn't bring it up because I wanted it to happen. I brought it up because it made sense from a football standpoint.
Yes, and it does.
Thank you.
The more we talk about it, the more it makes sense. Now, look, the Giants aren't, I don't know if they're all in on Aaron Rodgers like they were all in on Matt Stafford, because that was real.
Mm-hmm.
And it was real with them, and it was real with the Raiders. Clearly, as we alluded to earlier, it was just Matt Stafford. And I guess to an extent, the Raiders using the other teams to figure out what his market value was worth. And then they held on to him. The Giants, though, are going to look at every free agent option that's out there right now. And this is what's daunting. And I guess it's tough to think about. Like, they got to worry about the draft and free agency. But their biggest issue has been quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of this energy is going to be spent looking at all the free agents that are available. Some of them you're not even going to really worry about. You do a cursory glance at. But then you also are looking at Travis Hunter and Cam Ward and Jackson Dart. And like you're looking at all the young guys as well. Like this offseason quarterback search for the Giants is probably the most extensive one that they've had in 5 or 6 years. It's more. Probably 7 years before they got Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
Because they can't afford to get it wrong.
I'd argue it goes back to when you were playing, because I think once they were settled with Eli, their searches were mostly for backups.
Good point. That's a great point.
And then they drafted Daniel Jones.
Right.
Like, I don't think they've had an extensive veteran search, and I don't even remember. It goes back so long to what they were looking at besides Kurt Warner.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even remember.
So you're talking almost 30 years.
20 years, yeah. No, 20 years.
20, yeah, 20. Yeah, because I've been retired for 20. So 20 years. 23 years.
Crazy.
It's nuts.
Let's go to Bruce calling from Brooklyn. What's up, Bruce?
How you doing, guys?
What's up, man?
Listen, I know Aaron Rodgers is beyond reproach and everything because he's so great and everything. But as a Giant fan, I never really rooted for Aaron Rodgers. I think he's a very boring quarterback, and I feel like I've seen enough of him. I mean, I've seen him with the Jets. I would rather have Justin Fields, because at least Justin Fields is a young guy. He's in the prime of his career,
but he might
not wants to prove he can win games.
But he might not be good. That's the issue.
The appealing part of Justin Fields is his age. And when you have someone who's young, there's the hope, the belief, but really the hope that, hey, maybe he turns into what we thought he could have been coming out of Ohio State. But Aaron Rodgers and the word boring to me don't fit in terms of the way he plays football. He's not a boring quarterback.
No.
I wouldn't call him that.
No, I think he's actually the opposite of that. And because you don't know what you're going to see. And if you do see a lot of things, it's going to be extraordinarily compelling. Or really bad, like we saw at points over the last couple of years.
Let's go to Eric in Rivervale, New Jersey. What's up, Eric?
Hey, man, Tiki, how are you?
What's up, man?
Good. What's up, man?
Oh, man, I couldn't agree with you more, Evan, as far as Sean goes. If they end up with Rodgers and he starts winning, I mean, if we know anything about Morash, it's that he's a real bad loser, but he's an even worse winner.
Completely
so, yeah, that would be rough for us.
Well said. I think that's a fair description of Sean getting to work with him now for almost 2 years.
Absolutely.
We're getting there.
How much winning description of you, Sean?
No, but how much winning have you seen me have here?
That's a good point.
I mean,
fair point.
The Yankees are always there.
So, on the Rodgers, I mean, I will say this first. I mean, I'm a Jets fan, as you guys know, but I think, you know, both organizations obviously have very similar issues and gaps and challenges going forward. And I think, I mean, to me, like, I guess the Aaron Rodgers thing to the Giants would assume, though, that they're going to get a quarterback at three. And I don't know that that's a reasonable assumption, because to me, it seems like Tennessee is dumb enough to trade that one pick. And I don't know if it's the Jets or if it's Raiders or anybody else, but
I don't think it has to be a quarterback at three. I think it has to be a quarterback.
Right.
And so if that's a second-round pick, if Jalen Milroe is a guy they've identified and say, hey, we were impressed with his combine, value-wise, we can get him in the second round. I'm just hypothetical here. I think it would have to be a young quarterback that you can groom.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it necessarily has to be Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward, even though those are the guys taking most of the oxygen out of the room.
You can almost guarantee that they're taking a quarterback this year. And I don't know when that's going to happen, first, second, or third round. But you can almost guarantee that that's going to happen. But what we do know is that there absolutely will be a vet. And this is what Sean said last week, and he was right about it. If they're going to take a vet, no matter what, you might as well take Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
What other,
the best option.
What other vet is a better option right now? I know that you can fool yourself and say, well, we're going to play the young guy anyways. We just need the Jacoby Brissett type backup quarterback. So just in case he gets hurt, you have a capable veteran to come in and play. That's not what I think the Giants are looking for. I think they're looking for a successful quarterback who can help them win right now. And in the process, help them groom or mentor one of the young players that they end up drafting in the first, second, or third round.
Speaking of young quarterbacks, what did the Jets do to Jordan Travis? We have an update on that, plus more of your calls on Aaron Rodgers at 888-808-1019. Evan and Tiki on the Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry's starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Good Monday morning. We got some clarity on the Giants quarterback situation, at least what they're not going to do later on Friday once we got off the air, of course, as Matthew Stafford is staying with the Rams on a restructured deal. So that whole thing is over. So they turn their sights to some other veterans and maybe they still draft a guy, but Aaron Rodgers, Kirk Cousins, Russell Wilson, Sam Darnold are some of the names that are out there. And if Aaron Rodgers stays here in New York, that's going to be very, very interesting to see what he does with the Giants after what he did or didn't do with the Jets. A nail-biting but crazy overtime win for the Knicks. St. John's clinched the regular season Big East title, and plenty more to get to on this frigid Monday morning. Jerry told me winter was over. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Jay. And the Rangers trade a couple more players, by the way. And unfortunately, sad to see Ryan Lindgren and Jimmy Vesey go, but they were great players for the Rangers, and good for them. They get an opportunity maybe to go for a Stanley Cup with the Colorado Avalanche, and they win last night because Jonathan Quick was out of his mind. I did not watch the Oscars. I'm sorry. I wasn't interested at all in any of that. And I will say things did happen rapidly, pretty quickly Friday with Matthew Stafford, and there was no question that, you know, as we were sitting here and we were talking about it, do you think the Rams are going to really let him go? Do you think the Rams are really going to let him go? And then I think you and I both said, why are they willing to let him go? And other teams are willing to take him right now and pay him the money that he wanted. So it was kind of interesting. Matthew Stafford used two other teams, the Raiders and the Giants, to come to an agreement with the Rams. And maybe the Rams were smart for doing that, but I felt like both of those teams were used by Sean McVay and Les Snead of the Rams to get Matthew Stafford, you know, back in uniform and back underneath Rams control.
Yeah, I mean, and it was strange for a number of reasons. One, the fact that this team looked so unbelievably good at the end of the year and played the champion Philadelphia Eagles right to the end in the divisional round, a team that blew out the Commanders, then blew out the Chiefs. They're like, you're right there. You're close. I mean, what is going on? It doesn't make any sense. And you see the Raiders, you know, stepping up and offering a massive contract, you know, 2 years, $100 million guaranteed, and he still chose to be with the Rams. Just feels like that's just comfortable for him. Sean McVay, he's probably not going to have as much success with the Giants or the Raiders. So, you know, that is done, and that team's going to contend in the NFC without a doubt. Without Cooper Kupp, they'll find a way to figure that out. But, you know, now where do the Giants go? And I know Aaron Rodgers is on that list. I wouldn't do it.
I think that he's finished. I don't believe that he's going to stay healthy for an entire season. Yes, he played every one of the games last year. He was hurt for most of them and did not look like a good player. But as far as the other options go, if the Giants did it, I wouldn't say, wow, that's the worst thing in the world. They just don't have a lot of great options if you're going to have a stopgap guy and then draft someone else. But if I'm Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, I look in a different direction when it comes to the quarterback. And Aaron Rodgers, just, you know, to end his career bouncing around the slop football here in New York is not a good way to end a career. You know what I'm saying?
Slop football.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, again, it's going to come down to cost. And, you know, can they save some money here and bring somebody in that's legitimate? The reason why I wouldn't do it if I were the Giants, it has nothing to do with his ability to play, because I still think he can play, because I think we saw that the second half of the season when he started getting healthy again, except for the Buffalo game up in Buffalo late in the season where Buffalo needed that game. The reason that I wouldn't do it is because I do believe that he is, and this is my speculation, he's inflexible when it comes to the type of offense you're going to run. And the type of offense I think that Brian Daboll wants to run doesn't fit what Aaron Rodgers wants to do. And it's nice to have a guy with a great arm who's a Hall of Fame career and is a great player. I just don't see how this offense with Brian Daboll running it fits Aaron Rodgers. And would they have to change everything to try to meet the demands of a 41-year-old headstrong quarterback?
Well, you know,
that's why I wouldn't do it. But I also understand why they may do it, because they may have no other options. And if they're trying to save their collective jobs and they do draft a young quarterback, then it is a pretty good option to have in terms of selling it maybe to your fan base, to your sponsorships, that, hey, we have one of the most popular players in the league, you know, under center for us. So on one hand, I understand why they would consider it and why they may do it. And on the other hand, I'm telling you why I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it either. I don't know that, you know, him still being able to play. I know there were a couple games in there where he looked really, really good. I just don't know how he stays healthy. But as far as the offense thing goes, like, I think if you were to believe the reports that he really wanted to stay and have another year with the Jets because he didn't want to go out like that, I think he'll be more amenable to changing his ways this time around. No, listen, I'll tell you why. It didn't work. And he's 100 years old and he doesn't want to end like that. He can't dictate the terms anymore. He can't. He could dictate the terms when he came from Green Bay. He can't dictate the terms now.
I'm just telling you that it's real. I mean, in this situation, it is really hard to teach an old dog new tricks. And I know that's it's easy to say that. But I see it that way. You know, when Tom Brady went to Tampa Bay and Tom Brady was still at the height of his game, especially that last year when they made the playoffs, but they didn't make it to the Super Bowl. I mean, you know, he was calling, you know, 50 pass plays a game, doing it his way. Like, you have to understand, these guys have lasted so long that they've had so much success that it is really hard this late in their career to tell them, oh, guess what? We're going to be running RPOs. Well, no, we're not going to be running RPOs with Aaron Rodgers. No. I can tell you that.
No, of course not.
Which is what Brian Daboll loves.
He knows he can't do that with Aaron Rodgers. It has to be somewhat of a meeting in the middle. I think that Aaron Rodgers is smart enough to say, all right, if I have to go to a team that wants me and not a lot of team wants me, I can't go in there and tell everybody how to do everything again. I can't. And he knew that. If he wanted to stay with the Jets, it was a brand new offensive coordinator, a brand new system they're bringing in, young guys, everything else. He couldn't walk in there and be like, okay, this is how we're running the offense. And he knows that at this point. It would have to be a meeting in the middle. I think the bigger problem with Aaron Rodgers and the Giants is Brian Daboll's personality. With Aaron Rodgers, if things aren't going well, the two of those guys are going to be screaming at each other.
But that's part of it. I mean, like, that's like, he is going to be an inflexible guy. Like, I could see him more now. I could see him more, you know, with Pete Carroll than I can with Brian Daboll.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't know where the Giants turn. I mean, I know that they're having these discussions. All the reports are out there. Again, I can understand why they're discussing it. I can understand why they would consider it. But I also, I'm telling you, the inflexibility of Aaron Rodgers compared to this offense and this coach
which is what you just touched on, I agree with, and that's why I wouldn't do it. But, you know, for us and what we do for a living here, if they do do it, that is like gold.
Where the Giants end up with a quarterback is fascinating to me, more so than the Jets situation. And I, you're closer to the Jets than I'll ever be, but I feel like they are in a full-blown reset with what's in that building, who's in that building, how they think, how they act. And they're not looking at the quarterback position in 2025 as we got to win a bunch of games this year. This is like, this is a tone setting year. We're going to try to win as much as we can with the talent on our roster, but we're not making that big move up and trading up to number one to get Cam Ward. Or we're not swinging that trade. They weren't in on Matthew Stafford and for a reason, because they just came out of the Aaron Rodgers craziness.
Right.
You know, they're probably not going to be in on a trade for Kyler Murray if he is indeed available. And we opened up the show with that. There's a Sporting News report that says that, you know, the Cardinals are expected to trade Kyler Murray. I've not seen that anywhere else, but it is a Sporting News. It is a guy who's covered the league for a while, so maybe it catches on, maybe it doesn't. But the Jets aren't involved in any of that. I mean, I feel like they're going to, like, Tyrod Taylor's going to be the quarterback next year. But for the Giants, these guys, their asses are on the line. And John Mara said their asses were on the line before the Eagles won the Super Bowl, before Saquon Barkley got that contract. So it's really bad for them. So they have to win, or they have to show that they have drafted a kid that is going to be the future and things are on the right track and they don't want to change the offense and the coaching staff on them in 1 year. So they went hard after Stafford, which tells me a lot of things. And one of those things is they don't like either one of these guys all that much coming out of the draft. Because if you did, then you could very easily not trade away picks, not pay a guy $150 million guaranteed, and then go draft one of those guys and say, okay, we can live with this. And it, you know, it also tells me that they know that if they don't have close to a winning season or a winning season, that they're done.
Yeah, it was interesting, too, because after I think during a scouting combine, Joe Sheen came out and was like, I'm not going to make any moves or big swings during this free agency. We're going to do this the right way and kind of get our guy. Well, your one big swing was at Matthew Stafford, and,
yeah,
you missed. And then ultimately, this is, and as far as Stafford, this is why you don't want mom and dad arguing in front of the neighborhood, because everything that happened could have happened in house, and this could not have been a headline, but they made it a headline. Moving forward, as far as the Giants just aren't appeasing. Yeah. Right? There's no free agent right now that's worth a damn who wants to join a 3-14 team with holes all over the roster.
Yeah,
and as far as the front office, they don't have a lot of options. They're desperate. So they're going to do anything and everything to try to acquire a guy who can at least they can roll out onto the field with and be competitive, because that's the goal right now. They have to become competitive with the pieces they have. And I don't know if there's a guy outside of Aaron Rodgers or Sam Darnold that fits that bill.
Yeah, so it's all right. It's not going to be Sam. I would be really surprised. I mean, if they ended up signing Sam to a big contract that no one else is willing to give him, then he'll go to the Giants. But they did that with Daniel Jones. The environment that he was, meaning giving a guy a contract no one else was going to give him. The environment he was in Minnesota is the exact opposite that he's going to be in with the Giants.
Right.
That's not going to work. So if that's not an option, you know, then you're left with Aaron Rodgers or Kyler Murray or someone who is worse than that. Yeah, then worse than that. And that you can't convince John Mara or any Giants fan that that's the way to go, unless you get Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders, and one of these guys gives you real tangible excitement. That's it. That's the only way to keep your job. And the more and more, and you've said it, Phil Sims has said it, Boomer has said it, others, that as I sit here and I watch these games and these highlights, that Cam Ward to me looks like that much better of a player than Shedeur Sanders does.
Well, he seems like he has the most upside. Yeah. I think when you go pros and cons with Shedeur, lacks athleticism, so they say. He's taking a lot of hits in college because of the poor offensive line. But he's accurate, and he can throw a pretty ball. And they say he can process the defense really fast. And that's some of the pros to him. However, when you talk about an offense that still needs help on the offensive line, needs another running back, needs more pieces on the outside, it seems like it's going to take a lot for him to be the guy you need him to be. Is he a plug-and-play quarterback right now? I mean, I don't think so. I think a lot of draft analysts have him being a second-round guy. Mm. So it's interesting. But Cam seems like the guy who has, he's a more plug and play, that he's more ready for the big stage right now. To this is according to draft experts. There's people talking about the draft and how they perceive these two quarterbacks. So I don't know. I liked Cam Ward. I'm a Hurricanes fan. I watched a lot of his games this year. I think we were forced to watch Shador because of Deion and everything he had going on in Colorado. But I think Cam was somebody who I liked for the Jets to grab if he was to land that far.
Yeah, it reminds me of a young Steve McNair, the way that he's built, the way that he throws when he runs. He's got that same type of look to him. I loved Steve McNair and his toughness, and what a tragic end. Did you watch that Netflix documentary?
Yeah, it was tough, man.
Yeah, God, that's as bad as it gets. That friend of his, though, that was like talking about all the stuff, or, like going into the details.
Definitely
like,
knows what happened.
Yeah, but he's like, but he was like kind of like skirting around the details, but trying not to skirt around the details.
Yeah.
He's like, listen, you know, Steve... He liked his stuff.
Right, yeah.
He was like, I got it. You know?
And Steve's from Mississippi, so it's funny because I think when the story came out about him, I know people who was remotely not close or tied into it, but knew about him and his upbringing and everything he had going on at Alcorn. And they was like, yeah, Steve was, he was who he was.
Yeah.
He was a country boy that played football hard and partied hard.
Yeah, it's just a horrible, horrible end. But anyway, he was a great football player. He was tough as nails and just... awesome to watch. And back then, those teams were nasty, man. Like those Jeff Fisher coached Eddie George, Steve McNair.
Wycheck. Bruce Matthews was on that line.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Eddie George, that running back.
Yeah. I mean, Blaine Bishop, was he
on
that team?
Bishop.
Some of those guys, yeah. I'm trying to think who else was on the defense of that team. It was like Haynesworth was a little bit, was he a little later?
No, he was later.
Yeah, he was a little bit later. But Keith Bullock.
Bullock was definitely
about that one. He's a local guy, I think.
Brooklyn, I think.
Yeah. So, but yeah, those teams were great, those battles.
Javon Kearse was on that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, those like AFC, like it might have been the Central at that point, but the AFC North, it was the Central because the Titans were in it. Where there was like a Ravens, Titans, Steelers. Like, it was nasty, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Browns, Bengals. It was just ridiculous. But anyway, I'm now off on a tangent now after the Cam Ward situation. So where they go with this is fascinating to me. But they've got a couple of routes. I mean, they've got a math equation in front of them, and the goal is to how do I keep my job, and that's why they went.
Well, they've messed it up. This is why I felt like they should have went ahead and got a quarterback last year.
Yeah,
because Daniel, there's no way you thought Daniel was going to be after one win and one playoff win that you thought he was going to be your quarterback for the next 5 or 6 years.
Well, the way they looked at it was, I mean, and now you look back and you're like, okay, you know, all these other guys succeeded that they could have taken outside of J.J. McCarthy who got hurt.
And Malik Nabers is a dog. I like him. He's super talented. I love everything about the kid.
I mean, I would have done the same thing they did at the time, which is select Malik Nabers, because those guys, there are no greater locks in the NFL draft than an LSU wide receiver. Like, they pan out.
I get Jefferson, that, but this is a quarterback-driven league, and you had a chance at J.J. or Bo Nix. I mean,
Bo Nix coming to the Giants would have been a slug. He went there with Sean Payton, a great defense.
Yeah, but Dable's supposed to be a quarterback guy.
Yeah, but he, well.
And so you're talking, and you know Dable likes mobile quarterbacks.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, Penix.
And the way Bo Nix played, this past season, he's arguably one of the, outside of Jaden Daniels, he was money good.
Yeah.
Especially for a Broncos team that really didn't have an identity on offense.
Yeah, I mean, no, there was an opportunity there for them to do it. Now, people say that there's no quarterback that even touches any of the guys last year. But the way they looked at it, there were three really good ones, and then the rest they weren't in love with, and they wanted to go for the surefire thing in Malik Nabers. But now they're in a situation where nobody really likes these quarterbacks. I think Cam Ward could be very good.
I like him. I'm a fan of him. I like his confidence. I like his moxie. I like the fact that he has the arm talent, whatever that means. I think that's a word that we've been in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
But overall, he seems like the most ready quarterback out of all the quarterbacks. And now there's words of this kid Jackson Dart popping up.
Yeah, well, this happens every year. Every year there's some guy who comes up who shouldn't be drafted in the first round and gets drafted, you know, or gets drafted too high because teams need quarterbacks. It always happens. But, yeah, arm talent, can make all the throws. That's another one. Footwork.
All the tangibles.
All the intangibles. All of these things.
All the Kuiper words.
Yeah. You know, guy loves ball. It's another one.
Right. Loves ball.
This guy, we know this guy loves ball.
He understands his why. Shut up.
That's a really good one.
You said you wanted to bring up something with Saquon Barkley's new contract and John Mara. So as we found out last night, Howie Roseman and the Philadelphia Eagles made Saquon Barkley the highest paid running back in NFL history with a contract extension. And he gets somewhere in the mid-30s as far as guaranteed money. So it's a huge deal for him and sort of a thank you for doing what he did last year.
No doubt. I guess, you know, I was struck by... This morning, you get in and, you know, the For You on X and all that, and they give you a lot of different things they think you would enjoy. And four different people posted, and I'm sure a lot more than that, but this is what came up on my feed. They go back to that Hard Knock scene with John Mara in the office about, I'm not going to sleep well if Saquon Barkley goes to the Eagles and blah. And people just continue to mock it. And the more I've thought about, like, number one, can we get over it already? I mean, he went to Philadelphia. He had one of the greatest seasons a running back has ever had. And, oh, by the way, he had a great postseason. And, oh, by the way, won a Super Bowl and then gets the contract. Like, what is so wrong with an owner being, as John Mara was, invested in a player, really enjoyed the player, liked the player as a human being, and... genuinely wanted him to be here. And it's really something, too, because as they, like a sheep, I watched the video several times, and there's so many things that stand out. Like, you know, Joe Shane sitting there talking about the Bears are driving up the price and the Eagles are out, and you're just looking at John Mara, and you feel like he wants to, and I feel like he almost gets a bad rap. I feel like John Mara was sitting there wanting to say, keep him, but also knows the cameras are on, and if I do that, now I'm meddling. Like, what is wrong with the owner that is actually into his team and his players?
So you think when people post this, they're criticizing John Mara, not Joe Shane?
I think all of it. But I think John Mara has taken a lot of slings and arrows. I really do. Over the last year or so, I think he's been made fun of because of that scene.
Yeah, you know what's funny is I never saw it that way. I just think that they play that scene because it's like Joe Shane is in there telling the owner, no, we're not going to keep this guy that's going to drive you nuts on the Philadelphia Eagles. Because it's the specifics of, I'm not going to be able to sleep at night. You know, it's only the Eagles.
I know.
You know, like it's that specific saying the Eagles. And it's like, that's what makes it so amazing. And... I really thought that it's just the criticism of Joe Shane and the Giants. I don't feel like John Mara gets crushed for that. If anything, he comes out of that thing looking better because he looks like the one guy that wants to keep him. But the thing that struck me with all of this is the fact that this, like, it never ends.
Well, like, exactly.
It never ends.
And as long as he continues doing what he did with the Eagles, if he has another big season again next year, it's not going to end.
Yeah.
And if the Giants continue to just be pedestrian or poor or just a lousy football team, the only way this ends is when the Giants become a good football team again. And what's really difficult about that is you're staring up at the Super Bowl champions that have a tremendous offensive line. I don't think it's changing anytime soon. And you're staring up at Jaden Daniels and the Commanders. Forget the Cowboys. Like, you've got two teams in your division that feel like they are light years ahead of where you are. And so with Barkley in Philly, and I think the Eagles are going to continue to be a really good football team, and I don't think he's going to slow down anytime soon. Maybe he will. A lot of wear and tear on the legs. It will always be a talking point. And, you know, on one hand, I am so with you and so many guys at this radio station. It's like, it's enough with these announcers.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, as someone that calls games, it is a storyline. It has to be.
Well, it was last year, but it's now continued into this offseason. And C-Mac played, I don't know if Fleegs is back, and he was the one who pulled it for him. But it was Joe Shane at the Combine, and I didn't realize the way it went because I'd only heard the cut of Joe Shane talking about Saquon. But they played the beginning of the press conference where he gets up to the podium, and this is the Combine now. You know, the next year,
yeah,
slate clean, everything else. And he gets up to the podium and goes, hey, guys, how's it going? Good to see you guys. You know, I haven't seen you in a while.
right off the bat. Do you have any regrets about not signing Saquon? Who's like, oh my God.
Yeah, well, that's the national media, number one. Number two, it's the first time they've seen him since Saquon Barkley just completed a historic season and a Super Bowl championship.
Right, and then you see this contract and bang, there it is again. All this stuff is happening again. It actually makes me think, and I don't know if John Mara has shut this stuff off. It's got to be hard for him. But and remember, he retained Joe Shane and Brian Daboll before the Eagles won the Super Bowl.
I know that.
All right, so now you have all of that, and then this contract, and it just shows me that these guys, unless now they trade up and get Cam Ward or select Shedeur Sanders, and that guy looks like the future in a big way, they are shot. They are cooked. He has had enough, and this regime is now turned into a joke because of this, fair or not. And that's why they went so hard after Matt Stafford, because they really thought that Matthew Stafford could come in and they could be a playoff team and win a bunch of games. And they don't really believe in these two quarterbacks at the top of the draft. But this is why I don't think you can bring in Aaron Rodgers, because if it goes well, it goes well. But if it doesn't and it's Aaron Rodgers, it feels worse, as we have seen with the Jets. So if they are hanging by a thread and they bring in Aaron Rodgers and he gets hurt again, he has controversies again, all these things that we saw with the Jets, and that blows up in their face, they are finished.
The bottom line for them is they need a quarterback. They've got to draft a quarterback. They need both, essentially. I do believe they need both. I think they need a veteran to come in here, and I'm not necessarily saying he has to play the whole season, but I do think the Kurt Warner, Eli Manning type of blueprint, I think, is what they're looking at, which is why I don't think Aaron Rodgers is the person for them, as much as I'd love to see it. And you need to, if they go, there's a scenario where they go 6-11, but it looks different, and it looks like the future is bright, and it looks like they've got the 23 or 22-year-old quarterback that takes over midseason, that looks like they hit it and they got the guy. And in that case, they can be back if things look like they have turned. But what you can't do is bring in a veteran quarterback, draft a quarterback who doesn't play. Maybe they don't, who knows? And you're 6-11 with that veteran quarterback and it looks the same. That's what it can't be. It just can't.
Yeah, and I really think that it's going to be tough. Like, and I, evaluating these guys is damn near impossible for me and you and other sports guys. It's damn near impossible for general managers to do it because they fail so many times.
For sure.
However, I'm still going to have an opinion on these guys. Doesn't mean I'm going to be right or not. But just in watching all this stuff as we're getting closer to the draft, Cam Ward to me looks like a 10 times better player than Shedeur Sanders does. And I didn't watch a lot of these guys' games during college. It's highlight packages. It's low light packages. And Cam Ward to me looks like Steve McNair. And I brought that up to Phil, and he goes, that's a great comparison. I hadn't thought about that yet. He reminds me of Steve McNair, and he looks like a gamer. He makes a lot of really good throws. And then Boomer and I sat in one of the breaks and went over his highlight packages. And I think that Boomer was not expecting him to look as good as he did. And I'm sitting there watching it with him. Boomer goes, well, that's a good throw. Well, wow, that's a good throw. Mm. And then Phil even said, the more I watch Cam Ward, I'm going, wow, wow. And Phil's not going to say that stuff about a guy he doesn't believe in.
Yeah.
Like he went out and he was heavy on some of these guys that he liked and didn't like in the past. So I really think for them, they got to get Cam Ward somehow, some way to save their jobs, because Shedeur Sanders isn't going
to
do it.
Well, and that's why you're hearing all these rumors about them trying to move up to number one to make sure they get the guy that they want.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't, but then again, it's like, in order to do that, you got to take the big swing. But then if he stinks and then you just wasted all these picks.
Well, that's the life of a GM, though. I mean, unfortunately, you've got to take swings. You're going to miss. Sometimes you hit. When you hit, then you look like the conquering hero. And, someone posted, I forget where I saw it, might have been on ESPN, I'm not sure. Someone posted one of these drafts from, 15 years ago and wrote the question above it was, how many of these guys turned out to be good? And it was the first round of the NFL draft. Now think about what we're talking about. You're not talking about having 32 stars, but you've got thousands of Division I college football players. You're talking about the top 32 that were picked. And it was like, I didn't recognize most of the names. So we can sit here, we can hope. You don't know until you know. And for the Giants, they better be right this time.
Well, now that the Stafford thing is dead, I just... They don't have another choice.
Well, Kirk Cousins could be a choice, I suppose. Sam Darnold still is a choice, no, I suppose.
But
until you would have...
Well...
Yeah, they haven't used the franchise tag on him yet, I don't believe.
It's
right?
over, though. The deadline's
right,
over
so
now.
Right, so I'm saying they didn't use it.
Right.
So he's going to be out there. Cousins could be got, I'm sure, somehow, some way.
Well, if you're getting Cousins, if you're bringing in Cousins, you're drafting a guy, too. If you're bringing in Sam Darnold and you're signing him to a three-year deal, then you may not be drafting a guy.
And then you could be looking at maybe a Travis Hunter.
Yeah, but...
Do you believe in Sam Darnold? And if you miss on
that... As a New York Giant, I do not.
Right.
I mean, he will look like that guy in the last two games against the Lions and the Rams for every one of the games that he plays for the Giants. And he may end up going back to the Vikings because he's so cheap that they're like, we never expected him to be this cheap because no one else wants him at this point. I still don't think that they'll do that, but I don't. There's no other option now that's gonna keep their jobs other than hitting on a rookie quarterback. That's it.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism, so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Robert Kraft said, who, by the way, got an F rating, too, when it came to the owner's rating.
Really?
I think he got like a D or an F. It was bad. It wasn't Woody.
What?
Left. Yeah.
Look
well,
it up. I think Woody was the only one that got an F, so he got like a D.
It was like a D. It wasn't what Woody got. So if Woody got an F, then it was probably a D minus. But he got a terrible grade.
I mean, they had a young quarterback and a... I guess probably because of who he hired as head coach.
Maybe.
I think that's what it was.
Or maybe what you suggested. Maybe they knew that the owner stepped in.
Yeah, maybe.
And said no thank you. All right.
That didn't get as much news, though.
That may be true, if that's the case. So if Joe Shane was willing to move heaven and earth to get and move up to three and draft the quarterback he wanted, Drake May, and he was willing to do it, and it was Robert Kraft who said, not happening, there's always a number. We saw this with the Yankees, and I'll bring that up. There's always a number that makes you say, okay, that's too expensive. So if the Giants are talking to Tennessee about going from 3-1, there's no doubt they'd have to give up less because they're already at 3. I admit that.
Right.
But Tennessee has every right to continue to ask for a lot. Could there be a number where Joe Shane says, I'm not going that far? And here I'll give you the other reason, and we should get further into this. I also find it hard to believe that the Giants would go that far to trade up to number one when clearly Cam Ward's their second choice.
Right.
Because their first choice is staying in Los Angeles. If they were willing to give $55 million a year to Matthew Stafford and also trade capital for him, then Cam Ward was their second choice. And if you really believed in the young quarterback, how would he be a second choice behind a 37-year-old quarterback? So to me, it doesn't add up that the Giants would go as far as you're describing.
But I think if you're throwing that accusation out there, I think the Giants were doing diligence. Now, yes, they were down the road with Sam Darnold, obviously, as were the...
Stafford.
I mean, Stafford. They were down the road with Stafford, as were the Las Vegas Raiders. But simultaneously, they're also evaluating the quarterbacks, the young quarterbacks, and all of the free agents. So this is, and we said this last week, I think you were out. When you were out, Sean and I talked about this, how daunting of a task it is for the Giants evaluators right now, the college coaches, college coaching staff, the current pro personnel staff, the general manager, because they're managing multiple avenues for quarterback. It's not just let's look at the free agents or let's look at this specific free agent. Let's look at all of these free agents. Let's look at all of these young kids and top two and the ones that are behind Jackson Dart and Jalen Milroe, et cetera. And you know, Tommy DeVito's in this conversation and what other avenue there is to explore. They have to look at it all.
Sure.
That's why it's so hard for the Giants. And you talk about the Jets and the Giants in different situations. The Jets are in an enviable position right now compared to where the Giants are.
Oh,
even
absolutely.
Though you don't have your future starting quarterback.
Well, I think they're in an more enviable position in that they don't have to make moves out of desperation.
Right.
They're not making
moves. They
have
a starting quarterback on their roster.
Well, I don't even mean that. I mean, you're right, they do. Mm-hmm. You're right. Put that aside. They've got Tyrod Taylor. I mean that Joe Shane will make moves thinking, boy, back of my mind, I got to win some games.
Yes.
Or I'm going to lose my job.
Yes.
Darren Mugee and Aaron
this
Glenn.
This has to work. This,
yes.
Whatever move I make at quarterback, it has to work.
Yes. And I wonder, and we'll get into this more when we come back, how desperate they would be for a young quarterback when they just try to acquire a veteran quarterback. We'll get more into that, plus your calls at 888-808-1019, and why there are some teams and some unnamed sources bashing Shedeur Sanders, and if it has any validity whatsoever. Evan and Tiki on the Fan. Get back to your calls in a couple of minutes, talking a lot of football, a lot of Cam Ward to start the show. There are reports, Jordan Ronan has it, the Giants are going to be aggressive trying to go to number one to get Cam Ward, and I, as a Jet fan, want the Jets to trade up and be aggressive and get Cam Ward. What I find interesting is that the New York Giants clearly made an attempt to get Matthew Stafford.
Yeah.
They agreed on a contract with him. They went way down the road with him on paying him a big contract, about $55 million a year. They went down the road of negotiating a trade package mm-hmm. with the Los Angeles Rams. And then it came down to Matthew Stafford. And certainly you weren't surprised about it. You predicted it. I give you credit that, nah, he's going to stay with the Rams.
Right, using the Giants and using the Raiders to tell the Rams he's worth it.
Yeah, and it worked.
And the Rams didn't want to believe it, but they ultimately caved and they gave him the contract extension. Do we ever find out the details of that extension?
Not quite yet, but I assume it's in that ballpark, if not a little bit less than what the Giants or the Raiders were offering.
Right, I agree.
So is it simplistic or too simplistic on my part to say if they felt Stafford was their best option, which I respectfully disagree with, but fine, then how into Cam Ward could they actually be?
I think very much, because I think it's two different tracks that you're walking on. And I'm trying to think back to the year that we brought in Kerry Collins, and if there was a quarterback in that draft, I don't think we were drafting that high. And so free agency might have been really the only way. Kind of like, not like the Jets, because the Jets were actually picking in the top 10, but I feel like you have two different mindsets. So one, it's your pro player personnel director who's looking at all of the free agents, all of the guys on other teams that are potentially available. And then you have your college scouting department that's scouting all of the young players that are coming out, in particular, the quarterbacks. And so you can walk both tracks, and the general manager's job is to weigh the benefit of either one. And obviously there's a cost in there. So it's cost benefit of each one of those tracks and what it means to your cap and what it means to, you know, your construction of your team. So I think they probably were doing both. And matter of fact, I know that they were doing both.
But if you believe in enough of a quarterback that you're willing to trade up from 3-1, which is going to cost you something, even if it's not as much as the Jets, obviously that means you really believe in the young quarterback. Wouldn't that always have the edge over trading for a 37-year-old and paying them $55 million a year? I get the both track thing. You're right. Like, that's what a smart GM should do. You should be looking at both tracks.
Well,
but wouldn't you prefer the young track?
But I think, yes, but this was such a unique offseason for the Giants because of what we've been talking about, this sense that they have to win, or at least they have to show market improvement and make your owner happy with the direction of the team. Otherwise, you're going to strip it down and start over again. So
right.
You kind of had to walk both paths. I think Matt Stafford was more like the Kerry Collins route, right? And it was more like, we got an established veteran. We know we can win in this league. If we bring him in, we're going to be significantly better because we think, this is the Giants, think that quarterback play was the thing that hampered us the most over the last couple of years.
Right.
Whereas you say that's A, but he could just be using us.
Right.
We got to keep walking B2.
Right, which turned out to be the case.
100%.
We'll get to what is being said negatively about Shedeur Sanders coming up at about 3:05. Let's get to your calls, 888-808-1019. Let's go to Anthony in Harlem. What's up, Anthony?
Afternoon, fellas.
Yo.
Evan, this trade-up idea might be the worst thing you've ever put over these airwaves, bro.
Why?
Because, ready? Do you know who Adrian Cooper is on the Packers? I know you know who he is, Teague, right? Yep.
Yeah, but what does that have to do with this?
What that has to do with this is this. You know where they got that pick from the second round to draft him?
Yes.
I know Dickie knows.
Yes, the Aaron Rodgers draft. They got that
from the Aaron Rodgers draft.
Okay, well, again, what is the point?
The point is this. In the NFL, you build your roster through the draft. And I am not giving up assets to take another kid and put him in a situation where we have to give up our first, our second, next year's first, next year's third.
And maybe a player.
And maybe a player. Evan, they need, realistically, okay, ready? Mm-hmm. They just cut Devontae Adams. They're about to cut Alan Lazard.
Yeah.
They need a number two receiver. Mm-hmm. They need a number two corner. They need two defensive interiors. They need two safeties. They need to build their roster, bro. And you don't build two free agents.
When do you plan on addressing the most important position in football with someone that could get you to that ultimate level?
When we build a culture and build a good roster, and maybe you draft a kid in the third round this year like McCord or Jalen Miller, and maybe he hits like Jalen Hurts did. But I'm not mortgaging the future, bro. We're going to be – this kid is – and I'm not even crazy about Cam Ward.
Well, look, Anthony, if you're not crazy about Cam Ward, then do you disagree? Clearly, move on. Don't trade that much for someone you're not in love with. I'm more in love with him than you are.
Right, but I think the challenge – and Anthony might be – onto something, because you got to remember I went off on the Jets last year. Like, you guys think you're so talented.
You turned out to be right.
And
you nailed that one.
And I remember just having that internal thought, like, all right, who are the all-pro, Pro Bowl quality players here? And I came to, like, five.
Yeah.
It wasn't, like, 15.
Quinnen Williams, Sauce,
Quinnen
Garrett.
Quincy, because Quincy is...
Quincy.
Was great. Sauce, Brees. Garrett, and then Brees. And that was it. It wasn't like... Oh, man, all these offensive linemen are great. It could be if AVT could stay healthy, you know, type of thing. But, you know, Tippmann was still young. The jury's still out. So it's like, where are all these unbelievable great players?
I think Fashanu could be that now.
I 100% agree. But this was prior to that.
Right,
this is before the season a year ago. And so, like, the Jets, not as dire as some other teams in the NFL, but they still do need to build this roster.
Well,
they still need quality players. And if you're giving up multiple draft picks to go get a potential, not even guaranteed. This isn't even Trevor Lawrence.
Right.
Potential franchise quarterback. It's just dangerous. It's risky.
It's always going to be dangerous. Like, it's dangerous for the Giants.
Yeah, of course it is.
It's always going to be dangerous.
But for the Giants, it's... You're going to spot. Do we have that site, that website where it gives you the
SpoTrack?
No. It gives you the
point system. The Giants need I think the number is 800 points.
Right.
To get from 3-1.
Right.
Which you can get there with, let's say, a second round pick.
Yes.
And a future second round.
Right.
Pick.
Right. Whereas the Jets
have to get to 1,500 points.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm all over this team.
Right. But yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But this is what I was talking about.
It's
by
double,
the way, I didn't even know about that thing.
Yeah.
Until like a year and a half ago.
Right.
I was like, what the hell are you talking about? Points to trade up? What does that even mean? But the Jets have a long way to go.
I understand.
The Giants, it's manageable.
I just disagree. So our last caller, and again, if you don't believe in Cam Ward, if you don't believe in Shedeur Sanders, if you don't believe in any of these young quarterbacks, then screw it, you shouldn't be trading for them. 1,000%. But to use the Rodgers trade as an example and say, hey, we gave Green Bay a 2, we went back 2 slots in the that's the past.
And they got a heck of a linebacker, though.
And that's great, good for them, but that has nothing to do with the situation they're in right now or the decision they should make right now. That's a past administration, that's a past trade, and it has nothing to do with the idea of trading up for a guy like Cam Ward.
Yep.
It's completely irrelevant.